Hello, hello. Have you ever wanted to, promote a product or a service or an offer or something? And you were like, I should write some text on this page or in this email, or I should record a video where I talk about the thing that I want to sell. But what should I say? Like, what questions should I answer? Where do I start? What do I do? And so I wanted to figure that out for myself. I wanted to give that answer to you. So this is what I've come up with based on my research. So there's a couple different angles to this. And one is around this concept of the one belief. And then the other is like sales letter formulas. So I'm going to start with the sales letter formulas. Here's the research that I came up with for this. So what I do is I go through different trainings, different methods and books and courses and whatnot. And then I see, hey, what does this person say? What does that person say? And then I combine it into something that's like, this is sort of my best condensation of what they all say, like what they agree on and where they differ, etc. And so this here is my combined version. And these over here are sort of specific examples of them. And I'll go through the whole thing. And then here are like specific elements. Basically, so if we start with the combined, basically you have some sort of headline package up here, right? So call it pre-headline, headline, sub-headline. And then there's a problem of some sort that you identify what is the problem that you're trying to sell or trying to solve. Let me back up a second. Let me just highlight all these because then I think it's going to be easier to read. So highlight all of these guys that we have the high level. So what the consensus is that the headline is going to be 80% of your work. Ogilvy said that you should spend 80% of your time and effort on crafting the headline. The headline is the number one most important part of your sales message. The second most important part is the bottom here where you're presenting your offer. So sum up offer, real price, bonuses, scarcity, urgency, guarantee, call to action, and then your like recap and that kind of stuff. So that is the second most important part. The body, the content piece, the meat of is actually, from what I've heard from people, the least important part. It has to be there. But most people are going to be like the headline either grabs people or it doesn't. If it grabs people, then a number of people are just going to go straight to, okay, what is the offer? Let me see the offer. Yes, I want this thing. Okay, let me have it done, right? And some people are going to need more persuasion. And so they're going to read through the thing. And then for some people, the scarcity and urgency is what's going to push them over the edge. So Russell Brunson talks about it in this way, emotion, logic, fear. Emotion, logic, fear. So emotion is where you grab them up here with the headline. So you grab them emotionally first and like, oh yes, I have that problem. I have that pain. Yes, I want that outcome. You know, in sales, we talk about Hell Island, which is the pain that you're in, and Heaven Island, which is the outcome that they want, right? And we want to stretch that gap. I think I saw an illustration. I forget if I have it in here. Yeah, over here, there's they're over here in Hell Island. There's something. There's a problem, but they also have some questions and roadblock. And here's the results. Here's what they want. And the sales copy, this is from Jim Edwards' book. The sales copy is what brings them over that gap from where they're at. But if they didn't have objections and limiting beliefs and some roadblocks and whatnot, they would already have the results, right? They have likely tried before, but something in them is blocking them. And the job of the sales copy is to get them to take that step forward that gets them one step closer to actually having what they want. That is the goal here. And so if go back here, so the emotion, the headline talks to the emotion, the content talks to the logic, and then the scarcity and urgency is what talks to fear, right? Oh shit, fear, this is going to go away. It's not going to be available. Like, I may have to do it now. There's also warn about not buying. If you don't buy, you know, in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, you're likely to be in the same situation. Getting them to really, really understand the pain that they're in and remember the pain that we're in. We have this tendency to numb out and kind of forget the pain that we're in and block it, especially when we don't see a path to solving the problem, right? Often there's a psychological mechanism in people that we don't want to admit that we have a problem if we can't see a way to solve it. And so that is why, that is the job of sales. And that's why, like, you know, some people are going to be persuaded by emotion alone. Boom, they buy. I'm one of those people. I'm totally like, yes, fuck it. Tell me what it is. I'm in, right? Some people need a lot of logic to back it up. And then some people need that fear to be like, oh shit, it's going to go away. I'm going to miss out. Like, I'm going to lose my chance. So all three are useful, and you don't have to use all three. It just depends on how much pressure you want to put on people to make that commitment. And if you know that you have something that truly serves people, if you have a good guarantee and you know that you're always going to take good care of people, then there's a lot of, you know, good things to be said for really pushing hard to get people to sign up and commit to this thing, right? It's like, we all have this inertia. It's like, yeah, I know I should get that tooth fixed. I know I should do something about my offer, my business, or my health, or my relationship, or whatever it is. But we don't. We don't. We just don't. We just go like, well, we just go through our lives. Like, you know, Napoleon Hill calls it the drifters. In Outwitting the Devil, 98% of people are drifting. Like, they're in a trance. Like, literally on the street here in New York, like, half the people are fucking smoking dope. They're on weed. They're literally living in a trance, right? And people are scrolling on their phones, just like mindlessly, like going through stuff. And like most people are actually living in a hypnotic trance. And so it's like, jolt them out of that and get them to commit to themselves more than anything. It's not so much about them paying you money, though that's a part of the process, but it's really getting them to take a stand for themselves and for what they believe in. I had this experience with my dog a few months back. She wouldn't walk. This little cute thing that you guys have probably seen. She wouldn't walk. And she just like completely freeze and shut down and lie down and struggle and all that. And then at one point I was like, I really pulled out all stops and I was like, okay, like get her to move just a little bit and like tease her and nudge her and excite her and like push her a little bit and then like a treat and just get her moving. And then once I got her moving and I got some momentum, then she kept moving. And what I found was really, really fascinating, which is that she, like what I realized is that she is not my enemy, right? Of course she's not, but she's not my opposition here. It's not like me against her trying to get her to walk. It's her and me against her lower self, if you will, who doesn't want to walk. It's her, like there's a part of her that wants to move and be, because she feels better, right? She gets happy when she's moved and she's exercised and she moves her body, just like a human. We all, like, just like you and I, right? It's like, do I want to go to the gym and lift weights? No, I don't. But I know that I'm going to feel better when I do. And so it's allying with that part of me that knows better against the part of me that wants to just be like, I don't feel like it today. And it's the same with you and your client. Like, you're going to be an ally with your client's higher self, your client's higher best interest, to get them to move, to take action, and not be consumed by their lower self, by their drifting part, by the part of them that is controlled by the devil, if we're going to speak the language of Napoleon Hill, Outwitting the Devil. Like, the devil controls 98% of people who are drifting. And so you want to be on the side of light and love and being non-drifter, being someone who takes, you know, who is, like driven, if you will, like not drifting, right? Who is actively choosing what they want to do. So anyway, so back to the sales letter formula. So we have the headline, which consists of a pre-headline, the headline, and then sub-headline. So the way to think about this is the pre-headline is typically what calls out the audience. So you're like, hey, attention, you know, whatever it is, dog owners in Minnesota, like whatever your audience is, just so it calls out who you're for, so they know that you're talking to them. Very important that you call out right away who it is that you're for, because you're going to be posting on social media and, you know, Facebook is going to put it in front of a bunch of people. And if they're not your audience, you want them to not engage. You want them to just scroll past it as quickly as possible. If they are your people, you want them to engage and start reading, right? So that's how we select. It used to be that like a lot of this like ideal customer profile stuff was you went deep on like all the demographics and all the stuff, like what magazines do they read and all that garbage. Like who the fuck cares? Like who reads magazines, right? It's not relevant. With broad targeting and social media, and it's getting broader and broader, right? Because they're because of you know, Trump election and Cambridge Analytica and all that stuff, they've taken away a lot of the targeting capabilities. And at the same time, it's moving more and more algorithmically, and there's iOS 14.5 or whatever that took away the tracking, et cetera. So like targeting gets, you know, less and less effective, but what happens is that algorithms do it instead. And so your message is going to be in front of a bunch of people, and those that it resonates with are going to click through, and those are your people, and then it's going to find out what are the characteristics of those people, and it's going to send you more people like those. So pre-headline calls out the audience. The headline is where you really grab them emotionally and get them to pay attention. And this is, again, where 80% of your work should be. And then your sub-headline adds some more like explanations, more detail to the headline. All right. And then we move into the problem, identify the problem, agitate the problem. Maybe this is a very common like problem agitation solution, PAS, is a common framework for copy. And it's like, it reminds me of Dan Kennedy's story of how he did a sales letter for a series of emails or like print letters, mail letters for direct mail for a restaurant with a Valentine's Day offer. And it was like, you know, it's like, did you know that this percentage of marriages end in divorce, and it's because they don't talk to each other. And he's like going in there and identifying a problem and then like agitating. It was all a promo for going out for dinner for Valentine's Day. So identify the problem, agitate the problem. Now what Steve Larson says is like, don't actually do that, because you only want to speak to the people who are actively hating their current solution, right? You want to speak to people who are in the market already trying to solve this problem. So you want to identify the problem, right? But they're already aware of the problem. They're already trying to solve this problem using other solutions, and they have failed to do so. And now you give them a different vehicle to solve this problem. And so you don't actually want to agitate the problem, because you don't want to, those people who are not in enough pain already are not your people. You don't want to waste your time on them. So that's why I put maybe here. Maybe you actually don't want to agitate the problem. Maybe you just want to identify it. Although on the other hand, like they have the problem, it might be worth it to agitate. You can test. You can see what feels right in your copy of like, hey, like if you don't do anything about this, like let's get real. Like it's going to be bad, right? So let's see here. I'm going to zoom in a little bit so you guys can see. Build rapport is a common thing. Like you're just like them. The things you've tried and been disappointed with, that they also have. I put maybe again, because like that's also like you don't have to, but this is a common thing. The real reason for the problem, how you discovered it, that was something that Frank talks about, which is like here's the problem, and then you can say, well, but the problem is not actually what you think it is. Here's the real reason for the problem, how I discovered it. And then you present your solution. So you know, and here you can show the cost and the pain, like what it cost you to develop the solution. Russell talks about how you earned it or learned it. The ease of use of your solution, typical times of results. Futurecast is always very, very helpful. This is where like, imagine once this problem is solved and you've used my method, my thing, like, yeah, yada, yada, here's how life's going to be. Like, really paint that picture for people. They can't see it themselves. You have to walk them there to see it. And then we have the bullets, which I'm going to double click on in a minute. Those are very important. They're kind of the workout horses. If you do nothing else, I would say identify the problem and then introduce your solution and the benefit, the bullets for it. Those are the most important things. Next up, your credentials or expertise, like how are you qualified to solve this problem for me? And then for proof, we've got these are selections. These are different things that you can do for proof. Maybe I should pull them out because they're like sequential. You know what? I'm going to do a proof one out here. How about that? So let me do, I'm going to do this proof. And then pull these out. These are different ways to generate proof. There we go. So these are different proof points. So I can go over them really quickly here. So results-oriented testimonials are best. Testimonials about you or your company are second best. Celebrity endorsements, statistics, quotes, or images. So you can prove a point just by using a quote from someone, right? And then like saying, hey, my method, my mechanism, my way of solving this problem is backed up by this famous person or this famous quote. And then we get to sum up the offer and reveal the price. So this is what, how and when they'll get it, what you charge for it. And then you want to stack on the bonuses. Psychologically, it just works. I don't know that I love it, but it just works. There's a story, I think it was J.C. Penney. Correct me if I'm wrong. J.C. Penney, Apple retail. So there's a story of Ron Johnson killed J.C. Penney. His tenure as CEO of JCPenney was arguably the biggest retail disaster in history. So the story was basically this, like JCPenney was this, I've never been to one, but from what I hear was this like store of people that were bargain hunters and they were like getting coupons and then like they would clip the coupons and blah, blah, blah. And they would go buy stuff. And they're like, it's like $50 thing. And we're sending you a $40 off coupon in the mail. And then you come get it at 10. People were rushing to buy this thing at $10. Like, yay, we're getting a great, great deal. And what happened was he was the retail, boss at Apple and he created the Apple Store with Steve Jobs. And of course, this is not how the Apple Store works at all. And so he came to JCPenney and tried to do the same thing. He was basically saying, hey, you guys are so used to, like, we can be adults here, right? We can be real with each other and we can say, like, hey, we can stop pretending like this is a $50 item. It's really a $10 item. We can skip the coupons and the whole thing and just be adults and, right? And turns out you can't. And so now, like, there is some psychology piece where just taking things out of the main offer and positioning it as a bonus makes it really compelling and really, really valuable to people. And it's interesting, you know, why is it that way psychologically? And who is it for that way psychologically? It's something I'm thinking a lot about because I'm someone that personally finds those things a little bit silly, and I prefer the Apple way of selling. At the same time, there's a lot of people who like their coupons. The question is, though, are they different segments of the market, right? Are they, and so that's something that I'm super interested in, like, what are those psychographics of different people? And it's easy to say, well, like, dumb people like coupons, blah, 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 but that's not true. It's not about being smart or dumb. There's, like, different psychological dispositions that makes things resonate with people or work on people versus not. And so for me, I do find these like value stacks and all that stuff a little bit silly, but also I'm not a typical buyer. But also there's 8 billion people in the world. So I don't know how many buyers are typical buyers. Like, yeah, this is something that I haven't figured out for myself. Like what is the right thing to do here, right? Like we're here to serve. I know you and I, like we are both in this business to serve other people, right? We want to make a difference to people. We want to change their lives and we want to do right by people. It's not about the money for us. The money is a means to an end. The money is a means to being able to actually serve people, right? I take all the money that I make and throw it right back in the company and then some. Like I'm investing back into the company more than I'm making at this point so that I can keep serving people at a higher level and do better product for people, et cetera. So it's like, it's about the serving, but how do we get to serve the most people the best way? So bonuses, back to bonuses, right? The convention here is like stack on the bonuses to make the offer worth 10x the price. And then scarcity and urgency, I put genuine here because there's a lot of BS scarcity and urgency. Scarcity and urgency do work a lot on people who are more fear motivated. Again, it's a question of like, who do you want, right? So you can target who you want a lot through some of these things by choosing, like maybe you choose, we're never going to do bonuses or we're never going to position things as bonuses. Just here's the offer and take it or leave it. I had an experience with when I went to Funnel Hacking Live a couple of weeks ago, right? Where I went because like the ticket was $1,000 and I was like, I don't plan on going. Oh my God, my Yasmin, oh little girl. Oh, little girl, she's throwing up. Oh no. I'm sorry, girl. Hang on, guys. Hang on. Gotta take care of the dog. Too much chicken? Sorry, girl. I'll be right back, you guys. All right, so sorry about that. What was I saying? Yeah. Scarcity or urgency. So again, it's a matter of like how do you want to who do you want to connect with? Like, do you want to just only sell to people who are emotionally driven? I remember I did a sales training from Tony Robbins, and he talks about urban and lurban, emotional reasons to buy now and logical reasons to buy now. And so that would be emotion, logic, and then like I guess fear is an emotion technically, right? So. But anyway, so like, who do you want to do business with? And that's something that you can choose with this. Anyway, so going on here, we've got guarantee. So guarantee is always a good idea, right? 30-day money back, 60-day, like 360 days. I've done lifetime money back guarantees. You can do double your money back guarantee. I'll work with you. You got it. You can do them conditional. You got to do like, there's all kinds of guarantees, and I can do a whole separate training on the kinds of guarantees that you can do. And then call to action, tell them what to do. You need to absolutely tell them what to do. Click here, go do this thing, enter your information, do blah, 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 right? Like typically, like it pays off to tell people exactly what to do. Warn about not buying, you don't have to do that. I could put a maybe on that one. I mean, the whole thing is maybe, obviously, but those are like the more typical maybes. You want to have a call to action. That's absolutely not a maybe. Sum up the offer, real price. That's not a maybe. You want to do that. But yeah, what happens in a year, in 2 years, in 10 years if you don't buy? And then finally, the PS, recap the problem, the solution, the benefits, the consequences, and recap your call to action. So this is my combined sales letter formula. When I was putting this together, I was looking at a bunch of different ones. So I was looking at Perry Belcher. He has this 21-step sales letter formula. It is, it's online. If you Google that, you will find it. It has all these steps here: the call out, the headline, the subheadline, which is I combine into the headline package. Identify the problem. I have that whole problem section there. Provide the solution. show the pain and cost, explain the ease of use, typical time of results, future cast, share your credentials, expertise, detail the benefits, social proof, make your offer, add bonuses, build up your value, reveal your price, inject genuine scarcity, guarantee, call to action, warn about not buying, recap, and remind. So that's his 21 step. Jim Edwards has a great book called Copywriting Secrets. Easy read, lots of good stuff. He has the headline package, the shocking statement. Did you know? Blah, blah, blah. Define the problem. Here's the problem you face. Add to the problem, which means you, blah, blah, blah. Present the solution. Luckily for you, there's now a solution. Let me introduce you to, blah, blah, blah. Bullets, 6 to 10 rock solid bullets. Credibility, why you, proof. Don't just take my word for it. Sum up what they'll get, how they'll get it, when they'll get it, how much it costs. Bonuses, guarantee, call to action, PS, restate, etc. And then he has a simplified here, which is headline package, sales story, right? So there's lots of ways that you can tell a sales story. Bullets, guarantee, call to action. So this is the simplified format. And then here's one that I got from Frank Kern from one of his courses. I forget which one and when, but basically like, if you want blah, blah, blah. So that would be the headline. And then the big promise, common ground intro, you're just like them. Common ground pain, things you've tried and been disappointed with, the real reason for the common pain, how you discovered the real reason, unique solution and how you discovered it. So product reveal, benefits, how it works, the value bill, the price, the bonuses, the guarantee, scares you, urgent calls, action, restate. So you can see how they're all more or less the same. Like the bottom is very formulaic, very simple, very formulaic. The offer presentation, the headline is the crucial piece. And then there's like different approaches to how you the sales story, basically, how you tell a story. So a couple other things here. Page structure, generally, headline. If you have a video, put it there. Then you have a buy button. Then you can have your long form sales letter after. If you have one, you can also do straight VSL. Frank Kern does a lot of like very straight VSLs. If you're going to master things, do it in this offer, headlines, bullets, and then offer presentation. Again, the CTA and offer presentation is very formulaic. So, you can just fill in the blanks, basically. Tip, swipe file, create your own, have one. Like, pull good sales letters that you like and save them so that you can come back to them. All right, bullets are very simple. So that's in here, the meat of it. The bullets, where we have the benefits bullets here. Jim had them over here as bullets to arouse curiosity. So this is a very simple formula. It's like feature plus benefit plus meaning. Some people call this like dimensionalized benefit. Basically, what it is, what it does, and what that means to them. You have to spell that out. It, blah, 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 it toasts bread. So you can always eat, you can eat toasted bread, which means you will never suffer through this like soggy, feel sad and lonely because you are eating soggy, soft bread or whatever, right? So it, blah, blah, blah. So you can is like a powerful when, like that turns a feature into benefit, but then you want to take it a step further and spell out what it means to them. So you say what, which means. Headline formulas, there are thousands of them. You can, Simplera has a built-in headline generator using ChatGPT, and you can ChatGPT your way or Google your way to the headline formulas. There's so many of them. And you can use AI to generate them, blah, blah, blah. A classic one is how to yay without boo. This is like a Frank Kernism. How to yay without boo. So like how to achieve something, how to get something you want without something you don't want. All right. So how to blank without blank, something you want without something you don't want. How to do something in X steps or X days, something the ultimate guide, how to get blah, 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 in as little as, even if you, how every doctor can, avoid any future lawsuit, whatever. X myths about, truths about, habits of, blah, 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 blah. So, and there's like literally hundreds of thousands of these. I put in the value equation here because there is a, because of this, like the promise formula. So this is kind of like a way to look at headlines of the, sort of the elements to play with. The promise formula comes from Jim Edwards and the value equation comes from Alex Hormozi. So the promise formula is, the hurdle is the thing they want, but they see as a hard thing to do. The prize is the ultimate result that they desire, that they want. The timing is how long it'll take. The eliminator is like, it's not your fault. Let them off the hook, even if without. And so you can see how it relates a little bit. So the prize is the dream outcome here. And then the hurdle is the effort and sacrifice. And the timing is the time delay. And the eliminator would relate to the perceived likelihood of achievement, because it's like, even if you like how to lift weights, even if you don't have arms or something, right? That would prevent them from doing it. So, yeah. And some examples here of how to do that. So these are kind of different ways of looking at the headline, which is the sort of the ultimate payoff here. And the value equation is also, it comes from Alex Ramosi talking about offers and how to generate offers, where like if you can increase the dream outcome and or increase the perceived likelihood of achievement, or you can reduce the time that it gets them to get there or reduce the amount of effort and sacrifice, then all of those things are going to make the value go up, the perceived value go up, right? Because this is all perceived dream outcome, likelihood of achievement, time delay. Like these are all the perceptions, but as you increase the top line and decrease the bottom line here, the value of your offer is going to go up. And so in the same way, you can use those elements in your headline to make what you're talking about even more compelling. So I think this is it. Actually, I mean, I have a few more things that I can say about this. So this is from a book called The 16-Word Sales Letter. And it's this idea of the one belief. I think this becomes too much to go into actually right now. I'm going to do a separate video on that. But this is where you can see, like this is a way to think about your sales argument, right? The one belief that you want people to hold as they buy your thing. All right. I think I'm going to wrap here. You guys, thank you for watching. I hope this is useful. Again, for me, I this is something I was doing for me, because I'm like, what the fuck should I write on these sales pages, right? Like, what do I put there? And just trying to figure out what the smartest people in the room say. And something that I'm trying to figure out with all of this is like, this is like a side conversation about learning and growing. So I got into online marketing in 2008, in February, March 27, literally my birthday in 2008, was when I bought my first online marketing course. And I came from a tech background and I had so much resistance towards anything, marketing, sales, any of that shit. And so for me to go buy an online marketing course from this like crazy guy on the internet named Jeff Walker and go buy that stuff and pay $2,000 for it and be like, what is this? This is a scam. Took so much me sort of leap of faith, me getting over myself. And just, this is what we're up against when we're selling, right? A lot of the times it's like so much resistance of like, oh shit, like, is this a scam? Can I trust these guys? Like, what is going on here? And so I bought it and it was actually great. And then I got deep into online marketing and I loved it. And I was like, oh, you do the thing and it works. Like people actually buy and it's great. And I got so much, I had a lot of success with it and people loved it. And then I started to feel bad about it. Right? I started to feel, oh, there's something wrong about this. Like all of my programming about feeling wrong and feeling guilty. And I have this, I had a fingerprint reading from a guy named Richard Unger, who says like, I have persuasion reluctance, which is so true. Like I can see that throughout my life. I've like had very, like I'm very reluctant to go in and be super persuasive with people. I'm like, I know what you should do. I 100%, but like you do you, if you want to like screw around, like I invite people, but I'm not going to go and persuade people. I'm scared of persuading people. I think in part because I'm scared, like, because I felt manipulated in the past and like I didn't feel good. And so if someone came to sort of like, yeah, I don't want to be that person that like gets them over it into something that they then later realize isn't right for them, right? Like, because that would just feel wrong. And yet at the same time, like, we need to be sold on shit for our own good. We just need to be done in a good way. Just like I was talking about with my dog, right? Like, she didn't want to walk, but there's a part of her that did want to walk, and that would feel better when it did walk. Like, just, I don't want to go to the gym, but there's a part of me that will feel a lot better after I go to the gym. So it's better to convince myself of it, like to persuade myself to go to the gym, right? It's going to be better. It's going to feel better. And so, I left the internet marketing industry because I felt like it was so manipulative, and like, oh, I felt like it was like, just tell me the thing and I'll figure out if I want it. And then, so I'm trying to find my way here of like, how much I want to learn and I want to grow, right? So it's like, if you're here and you want to get here, right, you're going to have to change something in your mindset and your beliefs and your actions and your behavior in order to get from here to get to here. And all you know is that there are some of your current beliefs that are wrong. If you knew which ones they were, you could just like pinpoint them and go change those beliefs. Chances are you don't know exactly which of those beliefs are wrong. So there has to be some room for maneuvering, for testing, for trying shit out, and just being like, all right, that worked. That felt great. That didn't feel great. Like, you know, there has to be some room for experimenting here. That's how you change. That's how you learn, right? Is by choosing to do something that doesn't feel natural in the moment. Like the first time you go lift weights, it doesn't feel natural. It's like, oh shit. And like, well, like the first time I did Pathfinder, it felt super weird. Now I love it, right? It's like the first time you do many things, it feels a little awkward, but then you do it and then you're like, oh my God, this is amazing, right? So that process is entirely natural. It's okay. And don't judge yourself for it. And also don't judge others for doing it. Like, we want to support each other in trying stuff out and seeing how it works. This is not like, again, there's so many opinions about like, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't be that way, you shouldn't do that, this is wrong, this is bad. Like, screw that. Screw all those opinions. They're not helpful. Try shit. Try it on. And like, what is the worst that could happen? The worst that happens is that someone buys that you're like, yeah, that wasn't the right fit, and you go refund them. Or if someone wanted to buy, but because of the way you presented it, they're like, eh, not for me. Maybe you went too strong. Maybe you went too soft, right? And like, you're never going to hit everybody. You're never going to hit everybody. So it's just a matter of like, try some stuff and see how that works. And there's like two, like, if you're always trying to stay on this side of the fence, you're never going to, if you want to find the edge, you're going to have to cross it. Right? There's no other way. If you want to find the edge, you're going to have to cross that edge to find, okay, this is where it is. Okay, this is the line. This is where I want to be, right? But if you're never willing to cross it, then you're always going to be leaving room here. Like, there's always going to be that buffer that is limiting you. So yeah, play with this, try it. A lot of it might feel uncomfortable. Try it anyway, see what happens. And then over time, you're going to find your style. Everybody has a different style, and that's totally cool. Go find your style. But if you want different results, you're going to have to try to do different things. It's just how that works. I mean, it's basic, but that's how it works. But people have so many opinions on that. They're like, no. Like, people get so set in their ways, and you don't have to be. All right, my guys, my friends, this was the sales letter formula. I hope this was helpful. Go check it out. And use it and let me know how that goes. Yeah, keep me posted. See ya. Bye.